Stay on the firing line. Soldier's no good if you're not on the battlefield. You got to be on that battlefield where everything's going on. And certainly a soldier of Christ needs to be on the firing line for the Lord. Amen? All right. And we appreciate all the good singing. Boy, I tell you what, I've enjoyed it. God give me two messages, and I've been wrestling between the two. Which one to preach since late last night? And I think I've got the right one. If I ain't, it'll be a good one anyway. All right. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll preach the other one this evening. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Preacher yesterday, I had a younger pastor of a church up a holler somewhere down home. And he got up and he preached a little while. He sang and he talked a little while. And then he said, I'm going to preach a little here if the Lord will let me. In a few minutes, he said, now I can't preach unless he lets me. Now they believe, they take it to a farther degree than what we will, because they'll just sit down if they don't feel like God is leading them to preach. I tell you, I believe it'd be good for a lot of fundamental Baptist preachers to do that. I've seen some I would that'd sit down and just shut up and let somebody in the congregation get up and preach. Amen. But they'll sit down. They will. I've been in churches down there, old regulars, when two or three would get up, and they'd talk a little while, and they'd say, well, brethren, somebody else needs to get up. I just don't feel led to preach. Now, we look at it a little bit different than that. But I tell you, there's some truth in that, though. There is some truth in that. There really is. But really, we ought to come to the platform ready to preach. We ought to have God's peace about us when we come to the platform. Ready to preach. Amen. All right. You got your Bibles? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll find our text there this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, that we're so highly privileged to be able to stand behind the sacred desk and break out the bread of life once again. Lord, thank you for the good service thus far, God. Thank you for the very first prayer that was offered up this morning, and God, for the good Bible teaching this morning. For the Bible school, and Lord, for the good fellowship of the saints. Thank you for our dear visitors here today, God. Lord, our prayer is that they'll go away, dear God, getting some help from heaven, Father. God, we pray, Lord, and thank you, Father, for all the good special singing, the congregational singing, for the good offering that was taken, Lord. Now, God, as we look into your precious word, we pray, Lord, by your Spirit, oh God, may your Holy Spirit, may the sweet Holy Ghost of God lead and direct our minds and our hearts and give us the tongue of the learned and let us say that which needs to be said today and leave unsaid that which needs to be unsaid, dear Lord. And, oh, God, God, save that soul that's here today, lost without Jesus, Lord. Oh, God, help that Christian that's down in the valley, God, that's between a hard place and a brick wall, needs some help today, God. Help them, Lord. Oh, God, may we go away refreshed today in the Lord. And we'll give you the praise for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen and amen. Hebrews 10, look at verse 36, if you will. We'll begin reading there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. Paul said, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, or turn away, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You hear that? Let me read that again. If any man draw back, or leave the battlefield, that's what he's talking about, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition. I like that, don't you? You see, in saying we, he's including me in that too. I believe a true born-again child of God won't go back out to the devil's crowd and live like a devil again. I guarantee you, flesh might trap, he won't go long, buddy, before God burns his hide up or her hide up and gets him back in line. Say amen right there. I believe that, I do. But we are not of them, Paul said, who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I like that. Boy, I can use that for a text. I'm not going to preach there, though. on that verse there. But I want to bring you a message today, the Lord permit, on this thought. Don't give up on God. He ain't through yet. Don't give up on God. He ain't through yet. Amen. My daddy and his brothers fought in World War II. They fought with General Douglas MacArthur. They were in the invasion of Leyte Gulf. I've seen some film footage on the History Channel of the invasion of Leyte Gulf, and I looked and tried to see my daddy and some of the waves of men that would come in, you know, or my uncles. I never have caught one of them yet, but they were there. They come in on that invasion of Leyte Gulf, and MacArthur stepped off and right in behind them there on the beachhead of Leyte Gulf. Amen. Boy, I tell you, he's a hero of mine, General Douglas MacArthur. I read his autobiography when I was just a kid. Back in 1952, I read his autobiography. And he was a great general, probably the greatest, one of the greatest, or maybe the greatest that we've ever had in this country. I believe that, excluding, of course, Stonewall Jackson. I believe he was the greatest. But MacArthur was a great general, a great tactician. Amen? He was. And Roosevelt knew that he needed to get him out of there when the Japanese occupied there, when they invaded the Philippines and began to occupy. And yet they were still there, and he needed to get him out of there. He's such a great general. And later they needed him. They didn't need to sacrifice him. So he sent word that MacArthur leave. He didn't want to leave, but he left. He left. They got him out on a PT boat and took him to Australia where he could regroup the army and build the army back up, come back in, and defeat Japanese, which he did. Amen. I tell you right now, we had some Americans back then, praise God. Yeah. Amen, that's right. I tell you, my daddy and his brothers, six of them fought in World War II. Six brothers fought. One of them was shot up, but he lived. But they all fought. Every one of them fought the Japanese. But they were Americans, buddy. They loved America, and they loved their families. Yeah. And they weren't afraid to fight for them. Amen. Yeah. And we don't have a lot of that today. I'm not making light of our military that are fighting. I'm talking about these that are back here. Hee-hawing around and making light of what military men we've got over there fighting right now. I don't have that much time for them. One bit of the time I have for them. Amen. We're hearing a lot of that on, and these rotten, low-down politicians stand up like it'll Harry Reid and say it's all waste and the war is lost. You know what? Them the time men took him up and hung him right then and there. Stretched his scrawny neck. Amen. To make a statement like that about our boys, them who are giving their lives and defeating the enemy and saying the war is lost, I could not believe it. I still can't believe they let a man in such a high political position to make a statement like that and remain in position.
Yeah. Amen.
You can do what you want to with that. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. MacArthur left. When he got to Australia, he stood and spoke to the Australian people. And he said, I made it through, I've come through, but I shall return.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And returned he did, amen. He told Roosevelt, he said, I'll return, I'll paddle a canoe back if I have to, but I'm going to return.
Yeah.
Amen, that's what he told President Roosevelt. And what a blessing that was. Well, in the same like manner, long before General Douglas MacArthur was born, or made that statement in Australia, and most people know him by that statement, nothing else really. They haven't taken time to get to know him through his autobiography, and biographies have been written on him. But in John chapter 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Amen.
Amen. Now he won the battle. He fought the battle. He bled and he died for you and I.
Right.
He ascended back to heaven. Amen. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again for you. And he said over there in one of the Gospels, he said, a man bought some property, and he left his servants in charge, and he went far off. And he said, and he told his servants, he said, occupy till I come. That's a military term, occupy is. He said, you hold down, you the occupational troops now. I fought the battle, I've won the battle with the devil. I've defeated death and hell and had the keys, amen.
Yeah.
You're left here to be occupational troops.
Yes.
So you occupy what I fought and bled and died for.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying, amen? That's exactly what he was saying, praise God. But he said, I will come again, or I'm not through yet. Amen? God ain't through yet. Amen. No, not by a long sight is God through yet. Notice, if you will, the verse that we've taken for our text today, there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37, we'll take for our text. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I've used it many times, quoted quite often. But look what the Lord said there. Paul said about what the Lord said. He said, "For you a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." But he said, "For yet a little while." Amen. We don't know how long that is before the Lord comes. We don't. Paul made that. He probably thought it'd just be a day or two. When he said that, a little while, he thought it'd probably be a day or two. But keep in mind, time is nothing with God. A thousand years, Peter said, is a day, and a day is a thousand years. Judge, it's been a couple of days since Jesus hung on the cross, really. Amen. Probably not even a couple of days in the mind of God. I don't believe we're actually in the 7,000 year yet. There's no way in the world we are. We're not. The century hasn't ended yet. That calendar's not right. That's the old Roman calendar we've got. It is not right. I'm serious. So we're close to the rapture. I believe we're very close to the turning of the century. And approximately 7 years or a little more maybe before the turning of the century, the rapture will have to take place and the tribulation period will set in. I don't know when that is exactly. I'm not going to set any dates. It's not for me to do that. But it's a little while yet. We don't know. It might be 50 more years. And it might not be 50 more minutes. It might be 100 years. Amen. We don't know. We just got to work like we're going to live for 1,000 years and like we might leave at any second. Amen. Be ready to face the Lord. Amen. But he said a little while there. He said a little while. He'll come. He said, "He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry." And I've said this before. You know, a lot of times preachers will say, "If the Lord tarry, we'll do this or that." He's not going to tarry. And that's a false statement when they make that. I had old brother Bill Schaffner out of Hickory, North Carolina, tell I said that. I said, "Well, if the Lord tarry," he said, "Hey, wait a minute, brother." He said, "What do you mean if the Lord tarry?" And I said, "Well, that's just something." He said, "Don't say that, because the Bible said he that will come, and will not tarry." And I stopped that right there. That's been about 22 years ago, and I quit saying that a long time ago. Amen. He's not going to tarry. He's not going to put it off. Buddy, when he's ready to come, he's going to come. Amen. I see that's in the hand of the Father. That's right. He said the Son don't even, the angels don't know, the Son don't even know. When God the Father says, "Step out, call your bride home," that'll be it, buddy. Amen. That's right. He's not going to say, "Well, let's wait a little while longer, Father. There's some more down there that needs to get saved." No, that sounds good, but he's not going to do that. He's not going to care. I tell you. There's a time set for the Lord to come in the mind of God the Father. Buddy, when that time comes, just like when your time comes, you've got an appointment with death. And when your time comes, you're not going to hold off or hold back. You're going. Amen. That's right. And when the Father's ready for Jesus to call the church up, praise God, we're going. Amen. Yeah. I tell you, I don't know about you, but hallelujah to God. It blessed my heart to think he might come today. Yeah. Get us out of here. Amen. What a blessing it'll be to be home with the Lord, amen, and to be away from all this down here right now, amen, and get away from this old wicked worldliness that we have to live in down here, amen. What a blessing it'll be. Oh, my. Don't give up on God. He ain't through yet. He's not through yet by a long shot. I guarantee you that right now. You remember how that Samson lay in the lap of Delilah? And with her womanly charm, she wooed him into telling her how that he had his great power. Yeah. And he fooled her several times. And then she was so overwhelming and so overcoming to him. Evidently, she was a raving beauty, buddy. And that he finally gave in and said, "Well, my power lies in my Nazarite vow. I've got a vow I made to the Lord. I'm a Nazarite." But he wasn't supposed to, in that vow, he was supposed to cut his hair to a certain given time of the Lord and priest. They come and cut his hair. And when they cut his hair, he broke his vow. Howbeit, he said, he didn't know the Lord had left him. Thought he'd get up and leave it as other times, but he couldn't do it. Yeah. And they held him and they tied him up and they took him down to the grinding house and they put his eyes out and they put him to the mill, grinding like upon the beast of burden. Amen. I tell you, that's what happened to you when you come back on God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now,
Christ,
your
Lord,
yes.
I guarantee you,
yes.
I'm going to reach all.
trouble. Maybe they weren't his to begin with.
Yeah. Amen.
He doesn't chastise the devil's children. You don't whip your neighbor's children, do you? You do well if you whip your own, won't you? Say amen right there. Amen. That's the truth. We do well, we whip our own. I'll guarantee God whips his when they need it. But remember what happened to Samson. My, had him down there, him blinded, couldn't do anything. They wanted to get vengeance on him. All the people did. They were laughing. Thousands of people there in the great Colosseum. And while laughing and hissing at him and making sport with him. And the little lad was right near him. He must have heard him talking. He said, son, come over here. He said, get me over here next to these pillars. They're holding this thing up. Would you help me, son? And the boy, you know, he's just innocent enough. He let him over and helped him. And evidently he died with him. When Samson got against those pillars, he said, Oh God, give me power, Lord. Lord, give me power. I'll die with those pillars. And he leaned in against those pillars. And the power of God came back upon him. Amen. Push those pillars to the side, and all that great Colosseum fell. Thousands died in the falling of that Colosseum. And the Bible said that he slew more at his death than he did his lifetime. Amen. They see, God wasn't through yet, was he? Somebody said, Samson, preacher, was through. He had his eyes poked out, and all his strength had left him. He was through. No, he might have been, but God wasn't. Amen. Well, we might be through, but God ain't through with us. I'll guarantee you, when you get down to your last stroke and you think that's it, God ain't through. God ain't through with you, my dear friend. Amen. The devil might lead you to believe that, but he's not. Remember how they did Daniel? Because he wouldn't firm up to the decree of the king. Old Darius made the decree. Nobody wouldn't worship anybody but him. Right after it was signed, old Daniel went to his little place, little apartment where he lived at there in captivity, swung the windows open toward Jerusalem, got on his knees and prayed as he did three times every day to the Lord. They could hear him pray. I believe he prayed extra loud that day.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I believe he did. I believe they could hear him all the streets. I do. He wanted to know that he wasn't bending to the devil. He wasn't bound to the devil. He was going to stand up for Jesus regardless. Amen. What happened to him? And they came and got him and took him and cast him into a den of lions. Now, you heard a lot of people say he's in a lion's den. No, he wasn't in a lion. You can be in a lion's den when we know lions are when we don't do it. He was in a den of lions. The lions were there. Amen? And they threw him in there with the intention of him getting eaten up immediately. And they were hungry lions, starved. And starved for meat, they wouldn't give them the right. At that time, when they put somebody in a den of lions like that, they didn't feed them. They got them all hungry and jumping and starved. And buddy, the moment a man or a woman would fall into that den of lions, they would just rip them to shreds and eat them up right now. Right. Old Darius, the Bible said, walked buddy the floor all night long. His sleep left him, the Bible said. Couldn't get any sleep early in the morning. He couldn't wait any longer. He went down to the lion's den, and he cried out, "Oh, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you?" He said, "Don't worry about it, King." He said, "I've had a good night's rest. How about yours?" He said, "I've had a real comfortable place to sleep here between these lions."
Yeah.
Amen. He said, "God give them lions Holy Ghost lockjaw."
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. Put their paws at rest.
Yes, sir.
And they didn't harm one hair on the head of Daniel.
Yeah.
Buddy, when they threw those men in there that cursed Daniel and talked about him, buddy, immediately they ripped him to shreds. Listen to what Daniel said there. I like this here. He said unto King Darius, he said, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths." I said he'd give him Holy Ghost lock. Give them lions Holy Ghost lockjaw. He ain't through yet. Amen. That's what he was saying. God ain't through yet. In Isaiah 43 and verse 13, we read, God said, "I will work, and who shall let it? I'll work, who'll stop me?" Right? No, but you can't stop the work of the Lord. The devil can't stop the work of the Lord. They've tried everywhere in the world to stop the work of the Lord. For thousands of years, it'll go on and on and on. Amen. Till God's finished down here. Amen. You see, he's not through yet. Number one, because the devil is still dealing. He is. The devil is still dealing. He's still dealing in vice. Is he not? We're living probably one of the most wicked times of history. It's so wicked because so many people just abide by it and live around it, and they don't ever speak out against it. I mean, there was a time when if you played a game of poker, I grew up in the mountains and I was a big poker player from a kid on up until I got saved. And we had to pull a hobbit somewhere down on the creek bed, down on the creek bank, and find us a place to crawl into to play poker to get away from the law.
Yeah.
They didn't allow.
Yeah.
Amen. Now they've got casinos everywhere. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I haven't seen the light in my life. They've been trying to prostitution in Nevada, the advertising in the windows out there. I saw them on Fox News last week.
Yeah.
What about that? Legalized prostitution in America.
Yeah.
Isn't it all? It's always been here. It wasn't legalized.
Yeah.
Good citizens didn't have to drive by and see had naked women on the out there on the windows and the marquees to entice the ungodly wicked men to come in here. Amen. Take part in their profession. Second man right there.
Amen.
I think that's the day time we're living in.
Amen.
Here in Kentucky, you got gambling guns for race for action, and one of the that rat face, crooked jaw governor we got is killing him because he can't hit casinos in Kentucky. Amen. I hope he's a lame duck governor.
Yeah.
His entire term. I hope he don't get anything done.
Yeah.
You know what he's getting done right now? I'll tell you how he's getting it done. He's getting it done by writing executive orders. He's going to run out of executive orders here pretty soon. He's got so many to write. That's what he's doing. Amen. He's a stinking devil is what he is.
Right.
Amen. If you voted for him, I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll stand before judgment one day for him.
Amen.
Amen. You say you're politicking. No, I'm not. I'm preaching.
Amen.
I'm preaching out against the wickedness of the governor of the state of Kentucky.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Wickedness.
Yeah.
Hey, it's the work of the devil. I said the devil's still dealing.
Oh, yeah.
If God was through, the devil wouldn't be here.
Amen.
That's right. He's still dealing. He's still dealing in whoredom and gambling and the sodomy, all that filth today that we have to listen to on the news and see taking place today. Do you ever see the like of little girls that are seduced and raped and killed and thrown by the wayside like you or I wouldn't even do a dog? I wouldn't even do an old common dog like that. The way that devil did that little girl just last week. Found her little body, a little 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God, what a time. Oh, that's a low-down, rotten devil.
That's
right from the devil.
Yes.
All
of
it
is.
God ain't through yet. I tell you, I look forward to the day when Jesus comes with a chain in his hand and hooks it out to the devil's
face.
Drags him over to the hatch of hell.
Yeah.
Pulls that hatch up.
Yes, sir.
All the smoke of the damn will rise out of that hatch. Such a stench will come out of her, and the devil will say, "No, no!" And Jesus will say, "You come here, and you pull that hatch back, and you'll slam him down into hell. Lid back on him for 1,000 years, amen. Well, I look forward to when that day comes. He's given me so much trouble down through the years as a man of God. Hasn't he given you trouble? Hasn't he worried you and aggravated you? Think about it is Christians today, so-called Christians, will get mad at a man of God that'll stand on his hind legs and preach out against sin. They'll get mad at him. They don't want him to rock the boat. Am I right, say amen? Amen. I tell you, that's what God wants. God calls men of God to preach out against sin. Amen. I believe that. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said the devil's a liar and the father of it. He's got people living a lie. Oh, boy. People over in Indiana vote all them stinking casinos in. I couldn't believe that when that happened, Brother Tom, really. Because Indiana was supposed to be a conservative state. It was, wasn't it? They voted them casinos in. Praise God. I'm glad we didn't get those things here. Praise the Lord. Amen. They might come in here eventually. Buddy, I'm going to fight it tooth and nail if I can.
Amen.
Amen. They kept out liquor out of Oldham County since the 40s. They got it out right after the war in the 40s. It had been out since a few years ago. These 50 cent millionaires come in here from Louisville.
Yeah.
Amen. Pushed out here from some of the different ones that moved in there. And the place was not platable for them any longer. A lot of them out here, they had to bring their cocktails with them.
Yeah,
all right.
Problem
at all. then it was all dairy farms, wasn't it, Mike? Mike was a little old fella when I moved there, about 4 years old, out in a little old jumper, little blue jumper, little old short. I'll never forget the first time I saw him. He was about 4 years old and had a little blue jumper on. He was out there playing with my boys. They were just little old things. And that was 38 years ago, first time I laid eyes on Mike Carpenter. Amen. I'm telling you, boy, the devil's a liar. He'll lie to you. Oh, that's how we're going to get taxes. We're going to get money. Well, I didn't see you getting anything when that flowed down. Now, God put this on my heart. When that flowed down, Wilson and said that we're going to never have to pay no more school taxes.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good and easy on you. We'll get this lottery in.
Yeah.
It's good for him, I have an idea. And blasted school taxes still go up.
On up.
Don't matter whether you got your child in Christian school or not, you got to pay the public school tax. Am I right? That's the truth. Amen. Know what I'm talking about. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. Then I find also not only through the devil's dealing, we find that God's not through yet, but also because pain is still preeminent. It is. It's number one. Pain is still number one. It is. The entire world is filled with pain.
Yeah.
Amen? You don't believe me? Go over to the nursing homes and see all the pain that's been endured over there, crying and screaming out, "Oh, God, God, help me." Am I right, Brother Anthony? "Lord, help me. Help me, God. Oh, I can't stand it." I was over there the other day visiting with a lady, and she was in such pain. Oh, God, love her heart. I prayed with her, tried to console her and talk with her. She was in dying pain. I didn't realize she was dying, but she was in dying pain. I don't think she really realized it, but the next time I come over, she was gone. Her bed had been made, she was gone. She had passed. That's an everyday thing over there. Had an elderly lady over there who was just by the pole over here in the squeal. 'Today, pain, physical pain, spiritual pain, mental pain, entire world is filled with pain. Hey, God ain't through yet. Let pain be gone. Yeah, man, ain't gonna be no more pain, buddy, when Jesus wraps everything up. That's right, praise the Lord. No more crying, no more sighing. All the former things, he said, are passed away. Amen. I said he's not through yet. Pain is still preeminent. In Romans 8 and verse 22, we read, "For we know," Paul said, "that the whole creation groaneth." There, it's clarified right there. He said, "and travaileth," or labors, "in pain together until now." Amen. And so pain is still preeminent. It's still first place, really, in society. Pain is. Because all wickedness and vice and the curse itself that God put upon this earth, man, brought about pain. It did. Absolutely. Thorns and thistles, he said, will come forth because of the sin of mankind. Amen. That's right. Praise God, we'll be delivered. That'll be delivered one day. This whole earth will be delivered. Amen. That's right. It'll be burnt up. Everything will. And all this earth that we're seeing right now will be burnt. And all the elements will be burnt with fervent heat, Peter said. God will remake everything. What a blessing that'll be. Amen. No more memory of this rotten wickedness that we had to put up with at a given period in eternity. There'll be no more memory even of that. I believe it'll be wiped away eventually, and we'll forget all about it and live in heavenly bliss. Won't that be wonderful? You see, I'm really not. I told a woman one time, I said, "What about all that? Ain't that good?" I said, "Aren't you looking forward to that?" She said, "Well, really, I'm enjoying it down here right now pretty good." I said, I am too, but I said, the Bible says it's supposed to be a comfort to us to think about going home with the Lord, doesn't it? He said, "Wherefore comfort one another these words." When you think about Jesus coming, Lord, you can enjoy your life down here. You ought to. God give it to you. And all good things come from God. You got a good life. Thank God for it. Enjoy it and live it. But I look forward to going home with the Lord. Amen. It's Paul said, far better up there.
Amen.
Far better. Woo, I say, but sometimes.
It gets good down here, don't it?
Amen. And I think, and the Lord said, hey, son, you enjoying this? I said, oh, yeah, Lord, this is good. I'm glad you did this.
Woo!
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I said
yesterday,
you
know, I said, the Lord said, you enjoying this? I said, you right?
I'll be out of this thing, hallelujah, one day.
I'll be a man like Jesus.
Yes.
I'll have a body fashioned like his glorious body.
And they'll
bring me over reigning in Darnell Duncan's life. I'm still in a body of flesh. But hallelujah to the Lamb forever. One day I'll step out of this whole robe of
flesh.
And I'll put on a brand new robe like Jesus' body. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Amen. Woo. God ain't through yet. Pain's still preeminent. God ain't through yet because the undertaker's still in business.
He wouldn't be able to fly his tools of prayer if God
was
through. Amen. That's right. I watched the undertaker's work yesterday. My nephew's an undertaker.
A quite big undertaker in Kentucky now. He's got three funerals. As far as I know, he's got three or four,
and doing great, boy. I mean, it's a dead business, but he's making a lot of money at it. Amen. And I watched them as they plied their tools and prayed. Yes, and I thought, buddy, you better enjoy this. You ain't going to be going long.
Right.
You're
going to be out of business before long.
Yeah. That's right, brother. I'm telling you right now. There not being a funeral parlors in heaven.
No, sir.
No undertakers up there. No graveyards up there. Amen. I tell you, I blesses my. Hey, listen. If God were to call me home right now, that'd be one thing that I'd be glad to be there for, to be away from the dying.
Amen.
Won't have to see another loved one's body laid on the ground.
Amen.
Won't get the news that one of your little children have been in the car wreck, been killed. Won't get the news that a dear old mother or daddy had just passed away. Oh, how many times do we hear the phone ring and pick it up, or somebody in the house will pick it up? And you'll hear him say, oh, no. And immediately you know something's happened. And you say, oh, what's happened? And he'll say, your brother or your daddy or your mother just died at the time of day. How many times do we hear that? Wouldn't it be good to get away from that?
Yes, sir.
I never had to hear that again.
The undertaker is still in business, but God
ain't through yet.
Amen.
Gonna put him out of business.
Yes,
praise God, he's gonna put him out of business. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Amen. The prophet said there in Isaiah 25, verse 8, he said, he who, God, will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Amen. Oh, don't give up on God. He ain't through yet.
Amen.
He ain't through yet. I find also when God's through, the Bible will be complete.
Amen.
It will. It won't be complete until the Lord takes care of business.
Right.
Amen. And we'll enter into eternity.
Yeah.
Until the white throne judgment is over. Then there'll be no more time. 1,000 years of millennial reign will be behind us. Tribulation will be behind us. Day and everything. And we'll be in eternity. But we'll be in God. And God is eternity. Amen. And the Bible will be complete. We don't have no need. Have no need for the Bible any longer. Amen. No more need for it. It'll be complete. Right now it's not. It needs to be preached. It needs to be preached. Amen. That's right. Then I find another one here. When I said when God's through, the Bible will be complete, and I find the clock will be obsolete.
Yeah.
It will. There'll be no more time.
Yeah.
Won't have no need for a watch. Won't have no need for a clock. You can take your big Ben and throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your Rolex and throw it away. Won't do you no good.
If you got enough money to have a Rolex, I ain't got that kind of money. Amen. But you can get rid of that pocket watch that your grandpa left you. You won't have no need for it any longer. Time will be obsolete. Amen. Won't have to mark time any longer. Boy, I tell you, that's going to be a blessing, isn't it? I told somebody, well, I retired from Ford 30 years. Pastored this church 17 of it. Built this church and pastored 17. I've been out 10 years, been in the church 27 years. And I told a friend of mine, I said, a couple of years before I retired, I said, when I retire, I'm going to throw that plastic clock away. I'll never want another clock in my face. Yeah. I haven't gotten away from that clock. You can't get away from a clock.
Right.
You cannot get away from marking time, can you?
No.
If you live in this life, you've got to mark time.
Right.
You do. And I keep a digital clock, big old red letters, so I can see it in the dark. I don't like to keep lights on when I go to sleep. And I don't want to have to get up and turn a light on and see what time. That'd drive me nuts, somebody does that. And so I can just roll over. If I can get up at 4 o'clock, I never set a clock. I'll roll over usually right a few minutes before 4, and I'll get up. I do that. I never set a clock. I get up and ask my wife. She sets clocks. I say, quit setting your clock. I'll get you up whatever time you want to get up. If I go to bed all by 9, I'll get up. If I go to bed at 10, I'll get up at midnight. I'll wake up at midnight. I'll look at my clock. It's midnight. I'll get up. I don't know if God just let me do that. But I still watch that stupid clock. Here, I said I wouldn't have every clock. Amen. Matter of fact, I got 4 watches and 2 or 3 clocks. Amen. Amen. And praise God, the clock will be obsolete. And I got another one. I like this one better than any of them, Brother Mike. I said, when God is through down here, the Bible will be complete. And the clock will be obsolete. And I find also the church will be at Jesus' feet. The church triumphant will be with the Lord. Amen. Have you read the book of Revelation? Amen. Have you seen those elders? That's the church.
Yeah.
At Jesus' feet. That old preacher yesterday said something. I've said this many times. He referred to that scripture over there in Revelation. He said, you know why? He said, I believe when John saw the elders, hallelujah to the Lamb forever. I want to tell you something today. If you're a child of God today, if you're truly born again, repentant child of God today, John saw you in that group there in heaven, which constituted the church of the living God. Listen, God ain't through yet. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you for preaching through this unworthy preacher today. Lord, I just pray that, God, they felt some of the fervor of the Spirit that I have today, God. Oh, God, as we have a time of altar call, they might come, God, and meet with you, and whatever their need might be, they might get their need met as we have the time of invitation. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's all